Have you ever heard that you are manipulative, antisocial, that you're unreliable? Do you lack insight? Are you constantly being reminded you have already been told how to perform that task? If any of these are true, you might be a workplace sociopath. Just kidding. If you are listening to this, you are not likely a sociopath, as you may have been a victim of one, or you are looking at how you can identify the sociopath in your workplace. You know how I know? Sociopaths do not look, nor would they ever read anything, about becoming a better sociopath. Due to the lack of control in their life, they have learned to feel comforted or secure by controlling and manipulating their environment. In doing so, causes harm to others, generally in the form of job security or getting in the way of promotions or taking out anyone in their path on the way to the top. And they are also very convincing, grandiose types that appear charming and intelligent. It is a first nature for them, and they have no remorse for who they hurt. I also get a couple of these comments, and I don't like to consider myself a sociopath in any way because I do believe in teamwork. I love teamwork, and I value everybody's abilities to work in a team setting. And the reason why that's so beneficial is because I know I'm not good at everything. Now, I do know that if I'm smart about something, it's because I spend time studying it. I also had and have a lot of time to really just look at things and study things, and I love learning. I mean, that's just something about me that is kind of a quirky, fun trait, I guess. Now, I come off intelligent at times, but I'm also a critical thinker, so I'm very good at deductive reasoning and figuring things out on the fly. It makes you creative and other things, and that can be very infuriating to other people. They can feel inferior, they can feel a lack of creativity and intelligence themselves. So it's almost like a projection. They're projecting on you their insecurities, but at the same time, you're not really a sociopath and you're not doing anything that you shouldn't be. And that's kind of where it is. And sometimes we lack empathy in certain areas, and that has to do with the brain and certain portions and chemical production. It's not always something that we can control it or that we mean to do. If I didn't develop any emotions to the person, and in other words, someone that dies, because I don't have a reaction to that, that is any more than empathetic to the person, you know, that's in the situation, I'm not going to probably cry over it. And that's the sad truth. I mean, I feel bad for the person that's hurting, but I don't necessarily feel bad for the person that died because I didn't know that person. I do often think that if it happened to me, I wouldn't, you know, feel really sad. So that's just kind of an example, terrible one, but on the fly there. But in the workplace, being a team player is important. And, you know, that's often very hard for a lot of people. And regardless of, you know, sociopath or not, it has to do more with skills. If they have developed the ability to work with other people, the social skills, the team effort skills, how to identify when someone is struggling, how to work with the person. And often if you don't know how to work with somebody, you just eliminate them. This was common in my previous job where they didn't know how to work with me. They didn't like that I actually would say stuff in reply. They would tell me to do one thing, and it's something that needed discussion. When you're learning something new, you got to discuss it. And if you don't know how to do that, and you in turn, they say that you're a know-it-all and that you don't listen or do what you're just told, just do what we say. That is a sign that you might be involved with a workplace sociopath. Now, there may be one workplace sociopath, and everyone else may be playing along so they are not victims themselves. They don't want to lose their job any more than you do. Sometimes what that looks like is a supervisor is on your case, HR is on your case, and maybe the owner or the boss is on your case as well. And what happens is maybe everybody is playing into the same game because no one wants to be a victim. So you get what's kind of called groupthink or group survival. And no one means to, but then everyone's working together to create this one environment no one wants to get sacrificed, so no one will side with the one person who's being a victim going, what the hell's happening to me? This isn't even called for or warranted for, yet everyone's after you. And that's how you know you've dealt with a workplace sociopath. A psychopath is somebody who just gets more belligerent and angry, but I'll go through that and what that is. Sociopaths are widely thought of as being the same as serial killers. Sociopathic behavior is absolutely not confined to criminals. While all serial killers are sociopaths, not all sociopaths are serial killers. They are people who manipulate their way into your psyche, often causing emotional harm, self-doubt, and general misery. They are everyday people like coworkers, neighbors, and sometimes those close to you. Researchers believe that 1 in 25 Americans fit the criteria for sociopathy. It's nearly impossible to live your life without some sort of interaction with a sociopath. And that's true. I'm sure we all have those stories. I've definitely had those stories many times. And I've actually seen them in very scary positions. And a couple of jobs, I just left the next couple of days. Like, it was like a couple of days hired and I was gone because it was just insane. And I was meant to feel guilty for leaving. Like, they're like, how cool is this environment? I'm like, it's not. I'm trying to make sales. And, you know, it'd be like the boss was yelling and cursing in the background. And I'm trying to sell phones to another business. And my job relied on commission. So, yeah, I wasn't really too thrilled about it. But I was made to feel terrible for leaving that job, quitting so soon and not sticking through. But with the music in the background and the bosses yelling all the time and cursing while I'm on the phone trying to make a sale, I just wasn't having it. And plus, it was minimum wage, which back then was like $6 or $7. I wasn't making much and I needed to live. I just don't feel like starving, you know? Dr. Hervey Cleckley was the first researcher to name the concept of psychopathy in 1941. Mental health professionals often use the terms sociopathy and psychopathy interchangeably. Here are his 16 characteristics of a psychopath. Might these signs apply to someone you know? This is all from a website called www.inc.com by Marla Tabaka. The 16 signs you're working with a sociopath and how to protect yourself. So number one, sociopaths are superficially charming and intelligent. As I mentioned earlier in this podcast, they are. They're very charming and they present themselves as smart and intelligent. And they're often the person you like at first. Also, another flaw in my previous job. I just might be a sociopath. No, it's always terrible to self-diagnose because it's never true. And it's usually playing on insecurities. Just so you know. Look up, I believe it's, is it John Ronson or Ron Johnson? I always get that mixed up. And he's got a great video on the psychopath test. Great TED Talk. And I love his books. And he's definitely one to check out. Now, just because someone is intelligent and charming doesn't mean that they are a sociopath. Again, the key word here was superficially. In other words, you can tell when someone is superficially charming, like Ted Cruz, for instance, is kind of a superficial asshole. But, you know, I don't think he was wrong in a lot of his, you know, what he put out there for his campaign. I just didn't like the guy because I kept feeling like he was fake. And maybe that was just me, but anyways. We'll see if he runs again. They are coldly rational. That means that they come up with rational situations, and it's sometimes the hardest thing to do that no one else would rationally do out of kindness and love, and it's very cold. It's very dark. So what that looks like is a parent that does tough love, but it's very irrational about it. In other words, it's too far. It's too cold. Hopefully that kind of makes sense. And in their terms of punishment and other things. And in the workplace, it kind of looks like the same thing. They come up with solutions and ideas that are very cutthroat. They are rarely, if ever, overly nervous. Sociopaths are not afraid of risk. And that is true. They're not afraid of risk because they will work and manipulate their way out of any situation that arises based on how they feel or what they are going to do next. And so it doesn't bother them. Sociopaths are not reliable. Yes and no. I think the reliability comes to the next part when they often tell lies or say insecure things and insincere things and they never feel remorse or shame. So they're not reliable. In other words, they, like, rather than following through with something that would have been kind and nice for someone else or even a promise they said, they will do something else entirely and then make an excuse as to why they didn't show up. I knew this from a personal experience that was told to me. It was, you know, personal family story. But basically, someone was supposed to show up at a church gathering, and instead of doing that, they went to a casino and gambled and then lied about it later. Now, that is a very sociopathic or psychopathic even type of behavior, because not only did the person get irrationally mad, but they took it out on the person that they were supposed to be there for. So, a little personal story. Let's see what else. Their behavior turns antisocial for no good reason. And that's true. They become almost trapped in their own world, in their own mind, and they don't discuss anything with anybody else. And they become the black sheep of the workplace or the cast out. That can also be a sign. Like, for in my case, I was feeling the victim of it. And because I know better, you become an observant. You observe the sociopath. You become like a scientist observing mice. You don't interrupt them. You don't do anything. You just observe. I guess that's the best way to put that. You don't engage. You don't talk. You don't make yourself noticed. You just observe. They have poor judgment and do not learn from experience, as they believe they are smarter than everyone else. Now, this is possible on so many different levels and not necessarily specific to the sociopath. Many people don't grasp a concept, or they learn things differently. So this is kind of a unfair assessment of somebody if they are just having a hard time learning something from experience. Even if they believe they're smarter than everyone else, because they could legitimately think that their way is better. So I wouldn't use this as a method or a sign to really say this is like the definitive term or definition for a trait of a sociopath. I mean, it really could be applied to anybody. Sociopaths are pathologically egocentric and incapable of love. Now, I don't believe this either. Sociopaths do have the ability to love. However, their love and their stance and where they come from on love is from a point of insecurity, insincerity, and is very self-absorbed and egocentric. In other words, they only think about themselves and how they feel, and they don't understand that helping others feel happy about life and things and their experience with you, that they too would feel better because of it. So when you help other people feel better, and this is kind of a little note for the sociopath, if you happen to be one listening to this, talk with other people, develop a good relationship, give them reason that when they interact with you to appreciate you, love you, and experience you, and that every experience you have or encounter you have with them is a good, pleasant, positive one. It doesn't always have to be. Eventually down the line, you get to build some rapport and you can discuss something a little bit more dramatic or trauma related in your life and get support and help and all that stuff from others. If you don't learn this, you're going to be going through life always in a survival and defensive mode, and it's not going to work out. It rarely ever does. And at some point, you might even get up real high, but then you're just going to crash. And rather than having a consistent life where things are still always good, a little bit of bad, and then even better and more good, what that looks like is not the stock market for sure, but a consistent, steady heartbeat, or a little mild up and downs, maybe a hiccup here and there. But you want that in your life. So have good interactions with other people. Give them a reason for that experience to be a good one and a pleasant one, so that they want to be around you. That's how you do it. Now, you got to also keep in mind all the other things. You lack insight if you're a sociopath. And if you lack insight, you lack the ability to look at yourself with an undistorted perspective from the outside. That would be as if you were somebody else without any bias as to who you are, what you are, and how you behave. So it's sometimes something to think about. And you can also get kind of paranoid thinking about it like that. I know I do once in a while, and I'm like, why did I say that? Was I behaving weird? Stuff like that. And I try not to, because it's a very bad self-talk, and you don't want to have that. However, if you notice you did something, you can think about it and kind of go, you know what, next time, this is what I'm going to do. Correcting that mode of thought and recognizing your error and your behavior or what you didn't like yourself is how you gain insight. Sociopaths appear responsive socially, often faking it to avoid being found out. That's what I just kind of discussed. They are likely to be the life of the party. Yes, sociopaths can often be the most favored person at a party. And it's not to say that everyone becomes antisocial. Sociopaths may also do things that we don't normally do or say when we are in situations of conflict. For instance, they may make false suicide threats. Now, I've known a few of these, and I've known a few people that have gone to do them, and it's like, you know what, go ahead, just go do it. Because when it's in a situation of manipulation, when you're having a fight, when you're having an argument, and they go, well, you know what, if you're going to leave me, then I'm going to go kill myself. That is manipulation. That's a clear sign of a sociopath, possibly psychopath, but definitely something there that needs to be addressed. And you either need to get out and, you know, disconnect yourself in all ways from this person, you know, move on, that kind of thing, or, you know, call their bluff. They don't want to be found out, right? Call their bluff. They're not going to do it. But don't be mean about it. Don't push them. Don't pressure them, you know, into doing it. Just, okay, fine, whatever you say. I know that may seem cold-hearted, but our minds are not going to where theirs is. So we don't need to let them try to take us there with them. Their sex life is impersonal, trivial, and poorly integrated. If you're in a personal relationship with one, if you are close or married or whatever, they will tend to be the one that isn't sexually there for you. They are not there to satisfy you. They will find sex elsewhere when they need it or want it. But they won't be there when you need them. And that's what makes them sociopathic in this case. They will consistently fail to follow a life plan. Their life will be up and down, all over the place, nowhere with any consistencies. And that's not always a bad thing. It's not always a good thing either. I've had many jobs and I've had many things going on in my life to where some things are just inconsistent and there's no guarantee. So it's not like I went, you know, into law school or into a doctoral school and became a doctor and then went and did some things. Like in our town, we have a few doctors that have been molesting people and are in prison now. And that's kind of more what it looks like when a life isn't consistent. It isn't integrated. They don't follow a plan. They're just kind of winging it. And it also looks like somebody who is got like a different job every 2-3 years, somewhat like in sales or somewhat like in who knows, like drugs or whatever, drug sales. It doesn't matter. It's just there's something inconsistent that is not part of a normal lifestyle. So this all, again, can be found on www.inc.com. Marla Tabaka, 16 Signs You're Working With a Sociopath and How to Protect Yourself. I thought it was a great article. Check it out. There's still more here. So if you have read the book Sociopath Next Door, if you haven't, go read it. It's a great book. And I've read this personally. There are so many stories in here that I just found. I couldn't believe it. I could believe it. I just couldn't believe I was hearing it, that I wasn't the only one that heard these things and figured out these things and knew these things. And I knew these back in high school because I had these experiences. I just didn't know what I had. And it's a very kind of interesting feeling. But to have that eureka moment and to go, wow, this is new information that I kind of knew, and then I'm now knowing it, and I'm just glad someone else does too, and it's being studied. I don't feel crazy, because trying to explain this stuff when you don't know what it is and what's going on is actually very difficult. And a lot of people go, yeah, right, that's not what's happening. That couldn't have happened. That's not who that person is. What are you talking about? You're crazy. That's what I'm told all the time. Trying to explain this stuff of like, well, here's what my dad did, or here's what my coworker did, or here's what my boss did. As I mentioned in my previous podcast, I was called into the office to be told they didn't feel like I wanted to be there, even though I did. And I told them every day that I definitely wanted to be there. And you know, it's just that's what they said, because that's what workplace sociopaths and bullies do. So in her book, The Sociopath Next Door, clinical psychologist and former Harvard faculty member Martha Stout, PhD, provides a great roadmap for conceptualizing, understanding, and avoiding sociopaths. This is just a short list of seven things that involve avoiding sociopaths. Except that some people have no conscience and they don't like a serial killer. They look like us. So some people don't have a conscience. And what is a conscience? A conscience is con and science, which means the ability to discern rightness and wrongness. When someone lacks a conscience, they are lacking certain components that are mechanically inclined in our bodies and brains that give them the ability to discern right information and wrong information. And some of these decisions and what it's based on is based on chemical compositions or activations in neurological pathways in the brain. If these neurological pathways are severed or the part of the brain is not operating correctly, the interpretation and translation of information is not correct. And that can allow somebody to murder and kill or sacrifice someone's job and not bat an eye or lose any sleep at night. Often I used to question, how could someone do this and still sleep? How can they sleep at night? Because that portion of the brain is not eliciting chemicals that cause emotion. And if you can feel nothing, even the nervous reaction or the nervous system stimuli where it gives you that shock going down your spine, if you don't feel anything, if you don't feel your gut, you know, crunching in, that's a sign that your brain is not functioning properly. That something is wrong, because in most situations you should feel a bit of a gut tug or a chill down the spine when something is wrong. That's kind of our system telling us, hey, this is bad. Don't touch that hot fire-y thing. Don't touch the stove. Don't touch the stove. Don't put that hot water on your face. You know, whatever. I just winging it, getting really dark there. Always listen to your gut and prioritize what it tells you. In a contest between your instincts and what is implied by the role a person has taken on, educator, doctor, or leader, animal lover, policeman, humanist, parent, go with your instincts, Stout urges. So, yeah, listen to your gut. If you don't have that gut thing, you're going to be in some issues. But that's what it's saying. Practice the rule of threes. Three strikes and they are out. One lie, one promise broken, one neglected responsibility. It could be misunderstanding. Two, could be a serious mistake. Three, you are now dealing with a liar, and deceit lies at the heart of a person with no conscience. Cut your losses immediately. Now take these words with heed. It doesn't mean that every time someone doesn't do their chores or breaks a promise, in this necessarily like is a deal breaker. It typically has to be something big. In the workplace, that would kind of be like someone who didn't work at all when they said, oh, I'm going to go home and work or something, and they decided not to work at all. Or, oh yeah, I'm working on the project, it's almost done, and they haven't done anything for a month. So they've been collecting money with no work done. That might be a sign that's a workplace sociopath. That's when you want to cut your losses. I mean, definitely in a workplace, if they're constantly having these issues and they're big, especially if they're real big and even kind of small, depending on how they react to them, if they just admit to it and go, oh my gosh, that's totally my bad. I was going to do that and I'm very sorry. It won't happen again. You know, if it doesn't happen again or if it does, I mean, just figure it out. But yeah, one, if there's a lie, one promise broken, one neglect of responsibility, it could be a misunderstanding. But it's the rule of threes and the three strike rule. It could be a serious mistake. Suspect flattery. Know the difference between compliments and flattery. Compliments usually feel good. Flattery feels like too much. know the sociopaths use flattery to manipulate. I have seen this and heard this many times in the office about, you know, usually comments from men to women about their clothing, about their hair, or, you know, something that's just a little too much. Now, if you have an attraction to somebody, it's not wrong. A lot of people meet each other in the workplace, and I think that's a good thing. However, you just got to be kind of weary. I mean, is it worth the risk? Your job, you got to see this person every day. Consider some of these things. Don't ignorantly go in just off reaction going, oh my gosh, this person's beautiful, I should say a bunch of things, go out of my way, etc. Let it happen naturally, because it will. You don't have to use flattery. You don't have to go out of your way so far to make things happen, especially when you work with a person day in and day out. They will notice you. And if they notice you in a bad light, you're done. You're screwed. It's never coming out of that. Nothing's going to come from that kind of relationship. So if someone's being flattering, especially if you're the boss and you got an employee that's coming at you and just saying things a little over the top, just figure out something might be up. I never see too many bosses sucking, or I'm sorry, employees sucking up to their bosses when it comes to casual everyday work stuff, unless there's some competitive reason or a new promotion, that kind of thing. So just be aware of that. Do not participate in intrigue. Don't play the game you're being invited to play. Don't compete with or try to outsmart or psychoanalyze or even banter with a sociopath. Your number one goal is to protect yourself. Sadly, I feel like I do this all the time on Facebook when I am engaging with other religious people or other atheists or doctors and stuff about all sorts of things. I really talk with just a huge plethora of people, but I'm not saying I'm speaking with sociopaths, but I do tend to engage and continue to engage and circle roundabout conversations about things that are really just, there should be more emotion there. And I'm not talking about anybody specifically, but there are things said in the name of a certain celestial being of whose name I will not mention, God. And they make an excuse that it's okay and justified for them to say these mean, sociopathic-like things, psychopathic-like things, just evil things. But because God has given them justification, oh crap, I mentioned his name twice, and it's okay for them to say it. So that's just one, you know, instance of mine. But I mean, yeah, when you're at work, don't engage with the psychopath, because they will eat you alive. And what happens in the previous podcast, I had a person write in and they said that they went to the bully, right? They went to the bully first and said, hey, I'm going to go up to HR. I'm sending them a letter. And without notice, they were fired before that letter even reached up. And I've dealt with this before as well, where I felt like somebody was trying to throw me under the bus. This was when I was working in telecommunications back in like 2008. And they basically made me go against policy. And I was screwing the customer over. And I didn't feel right about that. But because I didn't listen, and because I didn't give them that, I guess, appreciation or something, they let me go. Well, eventually what I did was I wrote a letter up to corporate, and those three people, my supervisor, the other boss, and the new district manager, all quit within 2 weeks. So they'll even sacrifice themselves to take you out as well. So that's just a fun little story there. Question your tendency to pity too easily. Evoking pity is a classic sociopathic tool. If you find yourself pitying someone who consistently hurts you or other people, chances are close to 100% that you are dealing with a sociopath. So yeah, I kind of agree with this. Evoking pity, in other words, don't feel pity on these people. Don't feel bad for them. I mean, you can, but don't let them know that. The hard part is that we don't, our minds don't go to where theirs does. So it becomes very easy for us to sympathize and empathize because we are behaving on a normal, proper level. And when they are not, it makes us weak and vulnerable. It's like Superman's kryptonite, if kryptonite was a sociopath. But and then you're Superman trying to go, oh, but kryptonite's so pretty and I just want to hold it. So don't do that. Defend your psyche. Don't let someone without a conscience try to convince you that people aren't good. Know that most of us do, thankfully, possess a conscience and can love. So that's the last one. That is number 7. Yes, we have the ability to love. Most of us have a conscience. There are some people that just don't. And you got to learn a little bit how to deal with them. And the best way is just to avoid the situation altogether. And I guess be your best towards them. Always have a good experience. Don't make yourself a target. Do the best you can. Well, that is today's episode. Thanks for listening all the way up to this point and continuing the journey through workplace bullying. If you have a story that you want to share, I'd really like to have it on the podcast and to discuss this and expand on the dialogue and conversation further. Thanks again for listening. Have a great rest of the week, and you will catch me next week, Monday-ish. Also, be sure to check me out on Facebook, anchor.fm, Twitter, and on pretty much every other podcasting platform. If there is one that you listen to that I'm not on, please let me know and I'll try to make sure I get on it. This page is supported by you, and I appreciate